We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Houston Texans select...
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
That's right, baby. Draft week, 2 days away. Clint's in the building. Tyler is in the building. And Clint, you know what we love to talk about. We love to talk about these quarterbacks, and that's going to be the big part of this first round of the draft.
Yep.
And we feel like we know who's going at the top of the draft. But Urban Meyer, the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he spoke of the process of how he evaluated all three of the quarterbacks that potentially they could look at take. Here's Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer told me their process was this. They narrowed it down to the top three quarterbacks on their board. That would be Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields from Ohio State. They then put the quarterbacks through two Zooms each. Meyer told me he was really impressed with all three quarterbacks. Again, would not say it's Trevor Lawrence, but did say that when he spoke to Lawrence, he was really impressed with how real he was and the maturity as well. Safe to say the Jaguars love whichever quarterback they'll end up taking.
And obviously that's Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, speaking about the feelings of Urban Meyer. But Clint, he's evaluating all three of them because they're the ones who had the top pick and could choose who they wanted, making it seem like they're leaving the door open. But, I mean, we know they're taking Trevor Lawrence. And it's interesting to hear the process, though, of how they look at these quarterbacks.
Well, I don't believe the majority of the draft talk around QBs as leading up to this thing. We've watched it. You and I have talked about it every day. Whoever had the pro day that day and worked out, all of a sudden they were the favorite to go to San Francisco at number three, right? And it just changed consistently. It's been a revolving door. I looked this morning. Now the favorite back to the 49ers now is back to Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback.
Yeah.
I think it's been Trey Fields. I think it's been Trey Lance. It's been Justin Fields. It's been all these different guys. So I don't believe the majority of draft talk, the shifting, the shaking, the moving. But to me, this is something that you can lean into because when you look at Jacksonville, they don't have a reason to lie about who they're hot on or who they're evaluating or who their top three quarterbacks. They don't have to worry about teams jumping ahead of them and taking the guy that they want. So they can They're number one. They can just cut and dry, man. We like these three guys. These three guys are our top three quarterbacks in this year's draft, and it's Fields, it's Wilson, and it's Trevor Lawrence. Those are the three that I would say are the top three quarterbacks in this draft. And this is something to me that we can lean into because there's no smoke being blown around whether these coaches and these GMs, whether they're talking to the media and try to spin have the media spin it, or they're legitimately talking to their fellow coaches around the league and trying to sway them one way or another. Jacksonville has no reason to do so. So when I hear them talking about quarterback prospects, I lean into this one, and I think they're dead serious about those being their top three.
Yeah, those being the top three, and in there we can see Mac Jones is not included in that group
right.
that I would think isn't the one. Do you think there is in any space at all that they are not going to take Trevor Lawrence? Do you think at all that they've potentially leaned, maybe Justin Fields? Do you think any of those other three quarterbacks in their evaluation that they potentially may lean going against what many people think is Trevor Lawrence being the guy?
No, I don't think they will. I'm gonna stick to my guns and think and say that they're gonna go with Trevor Lawrence. But I will again stick to what I said originally. I think that Justin Fields is a guy for multiple reasons that Jacksonville would consider. I mean, when you look at what Urban Meyer's done at the college level, he's always had a quarterback that could move. He's always had a dual threat quarterback, a quarterback that he could legitimately game plan to use his legs and use in a run game. And I love Trevor Lawrence, but I just don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be that guy. I mean, he came in at like 6'6", 210, 215, something like that. I mean, he is a guy that they were concerned about his weight when he measured in, and he's had shoulder surgery since. So he's not a guy that, I don't care how fast everybody thinks he was at Clemson a couple of games when he broke a couple long runs. That part of his game doesn't transition to the NFL. And so I could see where Urban Meyer legitimate. Again, I hear this report and I go, okay, I could see where this could all be possible given what we know about Urban Meyer, given what we know about the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. And I do think that Justin Fields is a guy that Urban Meyer definitely considered. I do not think that he's going to be the number one overall pick. I think Trevor Lawrence is still that guy.
And see, when you say that, you think about what he ran at Utah, all the way back at Utah, what kind of offense he ran at Florida and Ohio State, that you would think, oh, man, you could see Justin Fields being a fit as everything you talked about, what he could do. But that's also the mystery, and I wonder what goes into the evaluation process for Urban Meyer is, how close is his offense going to be to the way it was in those college offenses? How much change is he going to have in the NFL from what he did in college? Because I do wonder maybe the mobile quarterback, the quarterback that can run as much, maybe there's shifted changes in his offense that he's going to bring to the NFL that may not need that like he had with Alex Smith at Utah or Tebow at Florida, and then the different guys that could throw in run in college. I'm really interested to see in how much we see of the Urban Meyer offense in college actually we see in the NFL.
Yeah.
Because you would think you got to change some things from Urban because he just can't consistently get away in the NFL the things he was able to get away in college, even though we're seeing college concepts in the NFL more, but not just completely the way he's done it there.
Man, I would be highly surprised if Urban Meyer gets to the NFL, takes this job, and decides to change his stripes.
Because I was surprised he went with Darrell Bevell. I thought he might go with somebody that maybe was newer to the NFL that kind of did similar things that he did. When he hired Darrell Bevell, it made me wonder, all right, is he gonna kind of conform and change things a little bit the way he runs off?
Well, I mean, look, he's a great coach. I think he's always going to surround himself with great coaches and with coaches that provide a wide range of knowledge and a wide range of concepts and schemes that you can do offensively. But I think when you talk about great coaches, I just think there's very few that change their stripes, especially if you're talking about an offensive-minded coach. It's one thing for Saban a few years ago at the college level to decide, hey, man, we got to spread this thing out a little bit because these teams are they're scoring like crazy. I'm only going to be able to hold them down on defense so long. We've got to create an offensive scheme that can put up points quickly. That's one thing. He's a defensive-minded head coach that's not trying something new at a new level. And that change is one thing.
And he's hiring offensive coaches that could make a change. This would be Urban Meyer completely changing.
It would be Urban Meyer being an offensive-minded guy taking a back seat to somebody else that's surfed around the NFL and around college for a while now. That would be a major mistake, and I would be highly surprised if Urban Meyer completely changes changes his stripes. I don't think that Trevor Lawrence is a guy that his athletic ability translates to the college level. So what you see in Jacksonville may not be a ton of quarterback run, but I do think there will be a boatload of RPOs, a lot of pre-snap movement sideline to sideline, a lot of tempo, a lot of pace.
And these are things that are hallmarks in Urban's
offense. Yeah, he's always done those things efficiently. I'm not saying he's led the college football over his entire career in any certain category, but he's always done those things efficiently. And I would be highly surprised if all of a sudden we see a pro style offense in Jacksonville moving forward. I may be dead ass wrong. We may, but if I were Urban Meyer and I did that and I failed at the NFL level,
you never forgive yourself.
It'd be tough. It'd be easier.
You want to fail.
Doing my deal. Yeah. Do me. Right. I'm going to fail doing me. So yeah, it would be tough.
I just wonder if we take Trevor Lawrence, can I do me and be successful with Trevor?
Yeah.
Like, can I?
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, that's the question is can you do, a lot of the things that we just talked about and not have that 4-4 quarterback that can legitimately create with his legs, whether it's in scheme or out of scheme, look, I could be dead wrong on Trevor. Maybe it does translate. I just don't see it. I don't see Trevor making a living moving the pocket and running zone read, even
because the best I tried to give was Josh Allen, and you don't even think he's that level of.
No,
of
Josh is a grown man. Josh is more similar, a lot more similar to Justin Fields than he is to Trevor Lawrence. I'm telling you, man, when I looked up that may be those weights and stuff, maybe Trevor Lawrence coming in after surgery and maybe there's a reason why he weighed in so light, but you got to have some major concerns with Trevor Lawrence on
how much did he weigh?
I want to say it was 215. It was like 6'5", 215, 6'6", 215 or something like that is what he weighed in, 220. Somewhere right in that range. But you look at these other guys, like Justin Fields is 6'3", 230, and it's all ass and legs, yeah. Right? I mean, those guys can handle getting hit, in the midsection, getting hit in the hips or in the knees. Man, you go 6'5", 6'6", 215, 220, that's a whole different build. And you're going to run him up into traffic? You're going to run him up into I-10 out there? Nah, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Clint Sterner and the show here with you. On Houston Sports Leader, the draft 2 days away. The quarterbacks are going to be the big story. Could be 5 in the top 10 picks. We ain't never seen that before, and nobody will cover that better than we will here at Sports Radio 610. T. Sleazy was out at Minute Maid last night as the Astros continued this little stretch they had on. Why are you looking at him like that?
Well, I was waiting for his response. He turned around and perked up.
He perked up. He was there. Would you see Altuve? Altuve, boy, looked like he
out of the gate. No
rush. I mean,
rush.
Looked like nothing. I saw your tweet. You said, well, I guess he wasn't.
I didn't even get home well, get the TV turned on. I did see that hit, but I didn't even no more get my toes up and look at my phone before I started getting hit with tweets. How about that rush you talking about? I guess he ain't got no rush. I was like, damn. I don't even
remember you even talking about rust yesterday.
Potentially he could have a little rust after being out for a while. Nah, the first
big scam.
First rattle out of the box, right up the gut.
3 hits yesterday.
Come on. For the record, I still ain't backpedaling. I think Carlos Correa would be a better leadoff. I've come around to your way of thinking.
Certainly should be batting damn 6.
Did you see his first at bat?
Yeah, I was just angry when I saw.
Had you see that first at bat, T?
Yeah, that was right when I got there. Yeah.
You see him push that one through the right side of the infield?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking
about.
He got that hit
right as he was being given the Sportsmanship Award last night at the Houston Sports Awards.
Is that right?
That's what when I was listening on the Odyssey app, as I was listening to Payne and Pendergast this morning, they were talking about as soon as he was getting the Sportsmanship Award, he banged a hit same time as they were doing.
That's neat.
Right. And Dusty has the audacity to bat him 6th.
That's a lot of hits.
Really pisses me off. All right, we talk about the quarterbacks in this draft. There is an interesting idea that an NFL team could look at with their quarterback that we've never seen before in the league. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
So the draft happens, and it happens in 2 days, and you hear a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. And Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, he's a contributor to Fox Sports, he's a contributor to had an interesting idea of what maybe the Ravens should do with their quarterback position. Obviously, they have former MVP Lamar Jackson, who has led them to the playoffs his first 3 years there and had one of the best records in the NFL. But he's thinking they should maybe take the college approach, Clint, on how they handle their quarterback situation.
Yeah, it was really interesting, man, and it's the first time we've heard this kind of, suggestion. Because I don't think he's saying, Bucky Brooks wasn't saying that Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve the next contract or shouldn't. He was just putting it out there that they are a system-heavy team. That system has a lot to do with the success that they had 14 games in 2019 and the success that they had last year. And his thought was that the Ravens, if a guy like Justin Fields, an athletic quarterback, drops in the draft, then the Ravens should select him because they've got two late first-round picks. The Ravens should select him. And the thought process is that you take the college approach of you let Lamar Jackson quarterback and through his fifth-year option, and then instead of signing him to a $40 million a year plus deal, which would be up near $50 million probably by the time Lamar Jackson gets through his fifth year, instead of doing that, consistently draft young athletic quarterbacks, which the college game is producing at more so now than ever before, plug those guys in and just have a revolving door at the quarterback position every 4 to 5 years. I think it's first of all, it's great food for thought. It's a great conversation to have with the college football game changing the way it is and changing the NFL game the way that it is. I think it's just a really, really good conversation. You got to look at Lamar Jackson, and there's two concerns, right? The wear and tear on the body,
injury,
right? Whether regardless, it's reality. I know there's that when you start that conversation, there's the about athletic quarterbacks. A lot of people don't want to talk about the wear and tear on their body, but ultimately that there's more wear and tear on those guys' bodies than there are the guys that win from the pocket consistently and distribute the football accurately. So you got to worry about the wear and tear on Lamar Jackson. And the other thing is you've got to worry about the NFL defenses developing faster. You got to worry about whether he can develop faster than the NFL defenses adjust to knowing him better. So there are some real concerns there that I think would spark this conversation, show. It's legit, and I think it's something that as we see more athletic quarterbacks get produced and some develop, some don't, just like pocket passers, if you have a revolving door, so to speak, or a college approach to the quarterback position until you find that guy that can develop and you think you can win championships with, I don't know that it's a bad approach.
I was going to say, what do you think about it? You played in the league, you played in college, and understand how hard it is to do what Lamar has done, what he's accomplished in his first 3 years, playoffs all 3 years, a high, high winning percentage, unanimous MVP. Understanding how hard that is, what's your thoughts on taking that approach every 4 or 5 years? All right, let's just bring in the next guy like you would in college, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what Alabama, Ohio State has done. Ohio State went from JT Braxton Miller to JT Barrett to Cardale Jones to,
sure,
all the way up to Justin Fields right now every several years. Your thoughts on if that's a realistic approach that could happen in the NFL? Because
I didn't think what they're doing in Baltimore right now was a realistic approach. I didn't think we'd ever see that.
You'd be able to win the way that Lamar is able to.
Well, I thought we would see athletic quarterbacks come into the league, dual threat quarterbacks come into the league and work their way in. What Baltimore did was just took a quarterback that his athletic ability is by far his number one trait as a quarterback, and they built an offense around it, right? The defenses start catching up with it a little bit, and now it's going to lean heavily on his ability to develop as a passer the way that every other quarterback that's ever won in this league ultimately has to do. I don't know. So when your organization gets to a point where they win 14 games in 2019, you shift gears at that point and go, okay, what have we done in the playoffs versus the best of the best? And if you look at what Baltimore has done in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson as a quarterback, they've had four playoff games, and I believe they've averaged 12 points across the board.
And won one of them.
So you got to get to a point where you go, oh, and by the way, the one this year versus Buffalo, I think they scored 3 points in that game. But there's you got to get to a point where you go, okay, what we're doing is great during the season. It's produced an MVP. It's won a lot of regular season ball games. But do you really feel like what we're doing in Baltimore is going to give you a legitimate run to be a contender? Because they haven't been a contender in the playoffs yet. They've made the playoffs. They've been impressive. But they've had one really, really, really good year where they led the damn league. They had averaged 200 yards passing and 200 yards rushing per game. I mean, it was
what last year they got their first playoff win on the road at Tennessee.
What they've done is unbelievable. And look, I'm not saying that the you know you should pull the string on Lamar Jackson at this point. I mean, he's got time left to prove that this his backup, they shouldn't be planning for his backup. I can't answer the question, show of whether I think that the revolving door at the quarterback position every 4 to 5 years would work, but I can tell you that if Lamar Jackson doesn't develop over the next year and 2 years faster than the defensive coordinators can adjust to stop him, and if he continues to sputter in the first round of the playoffs or maybe they don't make the playoffs, then you got to seriously consider what you're going to do at quarterback. You can't pay a guy $40+ million because he won an MVP 2 or 3 years ago at this. Once you pay him 2 or 3 years ago, with that style of game, I just don't see how you can do it.
Yeah, my thing is, I like people who have thoughts, mm-hmm. like to try to really like kind of think outside of the box with this here, and I think there's outside the box thinking here because you have to be honest about. All right, how much more is he going to improve throwing the football, and how much more, or how long would it take for that improvement to where the league and defenses are able to slow him down, and then the injury factor. Those are two really big things. But see, with college, Nick Saban can go and recruit and pick within 4 or 5 guys who's gonna be his quarterback. Like he can really pick guys that are at a certain level. Like college coaches can pick guys. Dabo can pick guys at a certain level. Like it's not that easy, and you don't have the opportunity as an NFL team to pick. Like, bam, this is a guy that's at the same level of this. There's about 10 guys that are all at the same level, all 5-star recruits. In the NFL, if you're doing like every 4 or 5 years, we're just going to run our system and grab a guy that fits our system. Like, the next guy may not be Lamar. The next guy may be Pat White from West Virginia, who's not as good as Lamar, and now your team looks completely different. And it's just hard to bring in that same level of guy like you can in college, right? If you look at who's handed off the batons at some of these schools, the talent is relatively close. That talent's not always close. Like, you don't always get to run into what Green Bay did, just getting Favre and then having Rodgers right behind him. Yeah. Like, Lamar, what he's done is, and I don't think you're not saying anything against it, what he's done has been amazing in a 3-year stretch. He's gotten to his team to the playoffs every year and had a high winning percentage and won a unanimous MVP and won a playoff game. Like, you know, there are quarterbacks that aren't able to do that. And to just think, like, all right, we could do this 2 more years, we'd be able to get a guy that can fit our system and do this again. That's a hard thing to try to bank upon because the level of talent, the next guy may not be as good as Lamar.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't think nothing's for sure in the NFL. I mean, hell, finding the next guy, the best backup for who you have, just a backup in general is not easy. It would definitely take a different level of commitment to building that system. But I look at and the first name that pops to mind is D'Eriq King. At Miami. Former U of H quarterback, scored 50 touchdowns, 50 total touchdowns here at U of H before he transferred to Miami. He's going to stay another year at Miami. He'll be coming out next year. I got to believe that you're going to be, and I'm just off the cuff guessing. I mean, I got to believe he's going to be a mid-round guy at best. He's a guy that you could put in that system.
And you think he could do something similar to what Lamar does?
I mean, I'm just outside looking. If I'm looking at college guys, I would be willing to if that were my plan, I'd be willing to draft him in the middle rounds as a contingency plan for Lamar Jackson and have him in the pipeline. And if Lamar develops and proves to be something that you everybody believes getting into the playoffs and being and consistently being a contender, then you pay Lamar 40 and you move on and you got a great backup that complements your starter. But if not, and this is the kind of thought you have and you want to commit to this kind of system, you've got a quarterback that can do very similar things, at least schematically. Technically, like physically, he has some twitch and he has some high-end speed. He's comfortable running the football. He can spin the leather off of it. You know, there's guys out there, but it would definitely take another level of commitment that we hadn't seen with that dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah, take a chance that this guy might not be anywhere close to the guy you had before.
Hell, if I was Baltimore, I would do it anyway. I mean, whether I paid him $40 million or not, Derek King would be a target for me next year.
Yeah, that makes sense. A guy that like they did with Robert Griffin, a guy that they feel is like, and you'd have to change things. All right, John Harris, you hear him every night right here on Sports Radio 610, Texans All Access. Nobody around here covers the draft and breaks it down as well as John Harris. We're going to get his thoughts coming up next on what the Texans should do and maybe what his thoughts on are these quarterbacks coming out. All that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, draft week. The draft is in 2 days. And I know we're excited, but we're joined by somebody who I believe gets more excited about this time of year than even us. John Harris, you catch him every night right here on Sports Radio 610, Texans All Access. Also, the Houston Texans sideline analyst and is there each and every week. So, John, I know we're going to get into this draft conversation, but I guess my thoughts are with everything that the Texans need this year, do you foresee them staying at pick 67 in the third round, or do you think they may try to make some moves there?
In my estimation, and good afternoon, boys, it's really good to catch up with you. I listen every day as I'm driving out and about. Y'all doing a hell of a job. Appreciate y'all to know that and love y'all both. I think that they will not pick at 67. I do not think it's up. In my estimation, it's down. And I can't remember. I was just doing an interview earlier today. I think it was in down at College Station on Texags. And I was with them. They asked me the same question. And my thought was they could potentially, and this is what I would think about. 2022, there are a lot of advantages to having picks in 2022. And I'm not saying you punt everything to that year and put all your eggs in one basket, but you're talking about all these kids that went back for another year in college. You're talking about a potentially – so that's even more picks that you're going to have available to you. Then you talk about having hopefully a full year of scouts going back out on campus, being with these players, and seeing them getting all the information that maybe you didn't get with all these. Hopefully you're not going to have as many opt-outs, and I say hopefully because I think you might still have some, and they might put it pin on COVID, they might not, but I just think 2022 is going to be where you might have a better and more clear picture of what exactly you're getting with a potential pick. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody calls up down in the 80 range and sees pick 67, sees somebody fall. Maybe it's a quarterback. Maybe it's some of the positions, but it's a player that they see. And Nick looks at his board and says, look, we've got five or six guys that we have all rated pretty similarly. We can get one of these guys down at number 80. Hey, let's get these guys for their second-round pick next year or their third-round pick next year, whatever it is. And let's go get a second-round 2022 move down 13 spots. We'll still get our guy. Let's go do it. And so I could see them definitely moving down. Unless there's a player that just falls for some reason, you're like, wait a second, we got this guy as a top 15 pick on our board, and he's now there at 67. They may jump all over that. My guess is the way they'll perceive it, in my estimation, the way I would look at it is I've got four or five guys I could get. Let's go see if we can get something else. Let's get a little bit more bang for our buck. Because how many times have you guys said it? How many times have I said it? You need more draft picks, period. You need more young, cheap labor in this organization going forward. So I think that's one way they can do it. And I won't be shocked if they pick at 67. I mean, that's what the schedule pick. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them pick lower and get a little draft capital to go with it.
Johnny, when you look at the Texans right now, man, and from a draft perspective, regardless of up, down, whatever it is, where are they? What needs are they addressing immediately with, I call them premium picks, the third round and the fourth round pick? That's according to Casario. He said 5, 6, and 7 yeah. rounds. You can lump them in with free agents. So I'm saying I've tagged that third round and that fourth round pick as two premiums this year. What position are you targeting, if at all possible?
Clint, I think we got to cover somebody. I mean, the corners last year had 2 picks all year. 2. I mean, it was insane to watch game after game after game going, man, our guy's going to get a pick. I mean, our J.J. Watt tied for the team leading interceptions last year. So, to me, we've got to find somebody that can cover. And it doesn't have to be just – it doesn't have to be man. You know, look, if a guy is good and off, but he's got great transitional quickness, you know, he's got good size. You know, take, for instance, a guy from Syracuse. I was talking to a buddy of mine about this today, Ifeatu Melifonwu. You take that guy from Syracuse and –
you say that one more time, Johnny? I'm going to try to get that name.
Well, his brother was Obi. The Melifonwu part's easy. Ifeatu Melifonwu, corner from Syracuse. And he, at the Senior Bowl, I remember going there with kind of a sour taste because I liked Obi Melifonwu because he was one heck of an athlete. But he turned into a dud of a player. So I'm like, all right, brother, I'm not down for this. And then I'm watching him at the Senior Bowl thinking, boy, this guy's pretty good. So I put it about 10 days ago or so, 2 weeks ago maybe, I put in a study of him. And I'm like, man, this guy can cover in press. He can cover from off. He's competitive at every level. We need guys that can cover. You know, who gets in A.J. Brown's jock and just says, you know what, man, I want all of you today, bro. I want all of number 11 right now. And which guy is that for the Texans? Now, there's some guys that will say they want it, but which guy's actions can go out there and do it? So to me, they've got to find somebody that can cover, and they've got to find somebody that is disruptive on the defensive line. I would say linebacker, but they've added so many linebacker pieces. And I like the linebackers in this draft. I do think there are some you can maybe get, you know, in later rounds. You know, a guy like Derek Barnes from Purdue, you might be able to get, you know, mid to late fourth, who I really like. He's got a lot of versatility. He could play. Played on the edge his first couple of years. Then he went inside, you know, which, you know, something like Teddy Bruschi did for the Patriots way back in the day where he played down on the defensive line, then moved to middle linebacker. You know, Derek Barnes for Purdue is a guy you get, but I don't love linebacker. But I think there are some guys on the interior that are just not getting a ton of love, and I think they need some size. The biggest guy that we had last year was Brandon Dunn, and I think he was like 310 pounds. And we just got moved. We got moved too often. And that was without having Reed or without having Blackson. I think we need to have some athletic size. So a guy like Bobby Brown from Texas A&M makes a ton of sense in later rounds. And I love him. He got 325 pounds, and he had a short shuttle that was better than most of the corners. And I think he can really play when he's amped up to volume 10. I like your guy from Arkansas in late rounds, Jonathan Marshall. I really would like to see him. I thought he had a great senior year, Clint. I think he would be very helpful. So to me, you got to find somebody that can cover, and you got to find some size that can play on this line that can be disruptive, whether it's eating up blocks, getting upfield and creating chaos, any and all of the above work to make this defense a much better unit than it was. But I think that's where you've really got to find some players.
John Harris with us, sideline analyst. You catch him each weeknight right here on Sports Radio 610, Texans All Access. The quarterback position is getting some play, and it seems like that's been building a little bit for the Texans if they stayed at 67. Clint said the other day, if you do draft a quarterback, it's got to be Kellen Mond. What would be your thoughts if they were decide to go quarterback in that space, and who would you lean towards if you had to?
I agree with Clint. It would be Kellen Mond. He's the next quarterback that I have on my board. That's the way I would go, is Kellen Mond. I do think there's a little bit of kind of robotic Jimbo Fisher-ness to him, just in the way he goes about things, kind of the way he carries the ball and things. But I would go Kellen Mond. He's got a level of toughness I don't think people understand. I mean, I've seen that guy get the absolute bejesus knocked out of him, and he still would get up and make a big throw. And he showed up in some big games, man. As a sophomore against Clemson, in the rain, they had no business being in that game, and he is just dropping dimes. Against Florida this past year, he ate them alive in a 41-38 win. He's also had some games where you go, he doesn't look like a priority free agent here. So he's had some moments. And that for me is why he's down in the 90s on my Harris 100. But he, to me, would be the best option. Davis Mills has played 11 games. Yeah, he's got potential, but who doesn't go into the NFL? And Kyle Trask, I think Kyle throws a pretty ball. I think he's got good throwing acumen. He knows the right throw to make. He's got some touch, but he's just in the pocket, man. It's tough. I mean, he moves around okay, but, man, it's going to be trouble if there's going to be some pass rush. I'll tell you this. In 2018, if Kyle Trask was quarterback, it might have been 75, 80 sacks. Had he been back there as opposed to Deshaun Watson, who's back there. So I shouldn't say it this way. I am not surprised by anything anybody does in the draft at all. I would be mildly surprised if they do go quarterback there. It just doesn't feel like the spot where a quarterback would go. If they did go quarterback, I think Kellen Mond would be a nice fit. Look, Mond, Trask, Mills, those are the next three off the board. I could live with all three of them, but I think I would rather want to live with Kellen Mond. But I think this defense still needs an infusion of ball hawks in the secondary and some big size up front that can be disruptive against the run.
Johnny, what do you do with the top 10 in this draft, man? I mean, the Texans obviously not drafting until the third round, possibly trading down. I mean, it's going to be a while before we get to knowing and just really discussing what they're doing instead of what they might do. The top 10 is going off the board Thursday night. Well, what do you have that top 10 looking like? The quarterbacks are getting a lot of run across the country. Well, how do you rank those? I can see how on your Harris 100 where you rank them in terms of as prospects, but yep. Where do you rank them falling once you stack them up next to a team making that pick, that team's needs, and everything you're hearing from those teams?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you pointed out, Clint, because how I rank them and how obviously they come off the board is completely different because – I think there's a great chance that Mac Jones goes in the top 10. I have him, I think, at 31 in my Harris 100. And that's just the pull of the quarterback. And look, I think Mac can be a very good NFL quarterback. But the key is San Francisco at 3. And there's a lot of smoke to Mac Jones going 3. And my thought all along, and I've said this a few times, you give up two future number ones to go up and get essentially the guy you have already? So I don't understand that. If you're going to go up 9 picks, you're going to go with somebody that has an enormous ceiling. So after Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence go off the board, not in that order, but after Lawrence and Wilson go, which quarterback has got the higher ceiling? Trey Lance or Mac Jones? Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones? Now, it sounds like Fields is out. It's Lance or it's Mac Jones. And I don't want that to denigrate Mac Jones because what Mac put on film, as David Pollack so eloquently pointed out and put on Twitter, yeah, his tape is great. Mac's tape in 2020 is very, very good. And I don't want to take anything away from Mac. But if I'm looking for ceiling, I think Trey Lance is the perfect player to go to San Francisco at 3. And I bring it up because that, I think, then changes the rest of the top 10. Because if Trey Lance goes at 3, then Atlanta may sit there and go, well, we're going to make our pick. But if Trey Lance and Justin Fields are still on the board at 4, maybe Atlanta trades its pick. But I think Lance goes at 3. And because he does, then Atlanta's like, they're not going to get the phone calls. Teams are not as totally enamored with Justin Fields as they are maybe with Lance. Who knows? But I think Atlanta then says, all right, we're going to stay with our pick. We'll take Pitts. And then it gets interesting because the trade today, and I was doing a mock draft last night. And I looked at the Miami offensive line. And I looked at it and I went, man, I wonder if I should mock an offensive lineman to Miami. And I was like, I don't know. They're kind of set at guard tackle maybe. I could see a guy that's better, but I don't think he'll do that. I'm going to stick with Ja'Marr Chase. Well, if Cincinnati drafts Chase at 5 and passes on Sewell, I think Miami could take Sewell. So right now I have Cincinnati taking Sewell and Miami taking Chase. Maybe that flip-flops. Who's to say maybe Miami moves up to make sure they get Sewell and put him at right tackle going forward, which would be a huge, huge piece for Miami going forward. And the top defensive player I have coming off the board is J.C. Horn from South Carolina. And I think J.C. Horn, just from a cover standpoint, that's the kind of guy I would want a Texas secondary. He's the kind of guy that goes up, gets in the best receiver's face, and says, I'll travel with y'all game. You might beat me a couple times, so I'm going to get you. I'm going to go get the football. And I'm going to make it really tough for your quarterback. He plays with a ton of confidence. So, to me, the best defensive player coming off the board is going to be J.C. Horn from South Carolina.
John, man, we thank you so much for joining us. Real quick, before we jump out of here with you, what's the one thing by the end of these 3 days for the draft, what would you say the Texans have to accomplish? What is it they've got to accomplish out of these 3 days in the draft?
Well, I've said coming out of this draft, they've got to have at least two, maybe three starters. Hmm. And look, with the roster the way it is, you know who's to say? I mean, the conglomeration of players that have come together, I don't know that all of them stick and stay. I don't know. But when Mark Vandermeer did his Vandermock the other day, he had six-round picks of David Moore, the guard from Grambling, and running back Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. And I said those two picks, Mark, right there, would be starters by the end of the 2021 season at guard and running back, respectively, if that happens. That's the kind of thing they got to do. They got to hit a home run with a day three pick, and they've got to get a starter or two with their third and fourth round picks, I think, to feel really good about this draft. The other thing, like I said, if they don't end up getting a couple of starters, because maybe they trade down from 67 and they get into the 80s or so, they've got to make sure that they get capital for next year. So if they stick where they are at 67 and then 109, I would expect those guys to have to come in and be starters, and maybe not, day one. Justin Reed wasn't a starter day one, but on a really good defense, he was a starter by week four. This is a defense that's coming back from being 31 or 32 in the league. There's opportunities for picks 67 and 109 at a minimum to be starters on this defense, and I think that's what they've got to be able to find. But mainly, like I said, they got to find something to cover and go get the damn football. My goodness, if all you have is three interceptions and I think eight turnovers on the whole year, you got to upset that whole apple cart. Go find guys that know where the football is, can find it, and go get it.
Johnny, well, this is going to be a tough question for you, knowing you the way I do it, but I got to ask it. Are you more excited about what this new coaching staff can do with last year's draft picks, or are you more excited about what they could potentially draft this year?
I'll tell you what, Clint. I'm stoked to see what they do with last year's picks. To me, I don't say it was a lost class, but when you look at it, I think they were two or three starts on the whole group, for four guys. And the fifth guy, I don't even think saw the field, but maybe for three or four plays, Isaiah Coulter. I still think there's value in the class they had last year. So I'm curious to see what they can get out of that class for sure. But, look, when you get the new toys and, that's always a fun Christmas. But, hey, man, don't forget about that Mattel electronic football game that you got last Christmas that you barely played with. That thing's still pretty good. So, to me, I think there's value in both classes. I'm really excited about the new toys, but I don't want to forget about the ones I got last Christmas. I got to make sure that I make more use of than I did throughout the year 2020 and 2021.
John, thank you so much for joining us, and make sure you're listening to John Harris and Mark Vandermeer each and every night. As soon as we go off the air at 6, to Texans All Access, and I listen to you on the way home every night, and I'll be tuned in tonight.
Appreciate you, boys. You guys are the best. And actually, I'm going to go get the car and listen to you guys. How about that? Thank y'all very much for having me. Appreciate it.
You
guys are the best. See you.
All right. John Harris with us, Texans sideline analyst. And nobody breaks down this draft, especially around here, as well as John Harris does. I did like what he said, that the things that they got to accomplish. Yeah. And that is the one he said about getting capital for next year. That's a good thought with everything, as he said at the beginning,
yeah,
about, hey, next year's draft, you may know a lot more about teams and about players in 2022 and get some capital to be able to use.
Well, the draft pool is going to be,
yes,
it's going to be a class bigger. So, I mean, you've got, that's a good point. You got all the sheer numbers that you're going to be able to select from next year is going to be awfully impressive. I'm one of those guys, show that I just that's a great idea. I love the thought, but boy, it's tough for me to wrap my head around giving up some value this year, right, for now, and waiting a year, so to speak, to make the moves and get some players in here. That would be a very tough game plan for me to execute personally. I understand the value in it, and it makes total sense. First time I've heard anybody even say that. I've made the point when I'm talking on other shows, doing a lot of college football talk, of the schools, the mid-level to lower-level Power 5 schools are going to benefit greatly from guys, players being able to return for a sixth year and essentially add another class. Arkansas, my alma mater, is going to benefit greatly from that, just from a special teams and a depth standpoint. So I've never thought about it from what it means to the draft, and it's the first I've heard there from John. It's a good point. I would have a tough time executing that game plan personally. I'm ready right now. That's it. I want that third round of this year. I ain't trying to flip it and get me another third or a fourth next year.
The Astros are showing major signs of getting back to the team that Houston is used to. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.